June Carter Cash was destined for a career in music. Born into the legendary Carter family, by age 10, she was performing with her sisters and her mother, Maybelle. They became regulars at the Grand Ole Opry, even toured with Elvis. She's probably best known, of course, as the wife and music partner of Johnny Cash. Together, they became one of the most successful country duos in history. Their son, John Carter Cash, pays tribute to his mother in a new biography, her musical beginnings, her painful yet enduring marriage to Johnny Cash, and her struggle to hold her family together through his infidelities and addictions, and through her own addiction. If you have questions about the Carter family, June, or Johnny Cash, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. The book is called Anchored in Love, a tribute to June Carter Cash. And John Carter Cash joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Great to be here today. Thank you for having me.
And when the story of Johnny and June Carter Cash has been told in brief, this is the happy ending, you write. They had a son, and they all lived happily ever after. And that, you continue, seems to be the unspoken message of the film Walk the Line. And you add another line, of course, that's not true.
There were ups and downs after Walk the Line, you know. I mean, that's the truth. It did sort of leave off with the feeling that, and they lived happily ever after, and just the reality was that wasn't so, you know. I mean, there were struggles. My father came back into addiction in the 1980s, but in the book, I go into that, and, you know, I try to be just completely honest as much as I can, and still not be sensationalist. My point in going there, in writing this book, and even talking about the darkness, is to bring the point of the light. And the fact remains is that their love endured, and it endured beautifully. And it is a blessing. It truly is. And I believe that the book, even though it may go to dark places, that the message that I'm trying to relate in writing it is one of enduring love and truth and peace and family values and a longstanding love relationship.
Well, you've had your own battles with addiction, and I wonder if, in a way, that this book wasn't therapy for you.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it was. You know, because I mean, I don't. You know, I went through my parents' passing, away from addiction, and without any chemical crutches and whatnot, and to go through something like that, you know, you have to cling to people, you have to cling to your loved ones, you have to reach out, and you have to be willing to take comfort, and it's really a process, and it truly was a process, in their passing, and now. That's why when I was approached by Thomas Nelson to write the biography, I was very slow to respond yes, because I knew it would be painful.
Yeah.
But I did believe that it would be cathartic, and that coupled with wanting to give a good legacy of my mother to her descendants to come, were the reasons that I chose to go ahead and write it. And it was a healing process. It was for me, and it helped me face myself in many ways, and it brought back my mother face to face once again, and brought her close, her memories closer in good ways.
And brought her back face to face. And I must say, even writing as her son, her beloved son, warts and all, you even raised the question of, you suspect that she may have had an affair with Elvis Presley, for example.
I don't know if she did or not.
You suspect it.
Well, she'd get a twinkle in her eye when she spoke about Elvis. Of course, they were on the road together back in the mid-1950s, that would have been right after she was married to Carl Smith, when she was traveling with Elvis on the road. He was a sight for sore eyes to lots of the women back in those days, and I'm sure that my mother was definitely swooned by the man. It was hard not to be, but she seldom spoke of Elvis. You know, she really did. But there were a few signed pictures sitting around. There were personalized, writings and stuff that we found after she passed away. But her number one love in life, of course, was my father, Johnny Cash.
We're talking with John Carter Cash, whose new book is June Carter Cash, Anchored in Love, An Intimate Portrait. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we get a listener involved in the conversation. Jeff Williams. Jeff Williams joins us from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, John.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I was just listening to NPR, and they started talking about the Living Circle Band and June Carter Cash.
Yeah, man. Well, it's great to talk to you. I just got a message from you earlier.
Jeff is actually
a good friend.
I wanted to know on the record, and this is, I guess, an official interview.
Official?
Tom, Did your mom really write Ring of Fire, or did your dad write Ring of Fire?
My mother wrote Ring of Fire. Now,
she co-wrote Ring of Fire.
She co-wrote Ring of Fire.
Okay.
And my father, my father was, you know, I'm sure he had a lot to do with the arrangement that you hear on the radio. And, you know, the horns, that was his inclusion. And
he dreamed that, right?
Yeah, the musical treatment, that was his inclusion. And also, I think he might have changed a lyric here or there, because it was Into the Dusty Pyre at one point, which was my mother's original lyric. But it was melody, spirit, and pen. It was my mother and Merle Kilgore.
Well, for those who may have been trapped in a cave for the past 50 years, let's hear a little bite of Ring of Fire.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire.
I'm embarrassed to turn that down, but we want to get on with the conversation.
That's a great song.
That's
a big voice to fade.
It is, yeah. nevertheless, I mean, we think of that song, just going on to Jeff's question, as your dad's song. Mm-hmm. It's your dad's statement. Your mom never recorded it.
She did, yes. Yes, she did. She did early on as a demo back in the 1960s.
Uh-huh.
And then in her... next to last released record that was actually won a Grammy, the record Press On, she recorded it. So yeah, it was on Press On, and she has a beautiful version of it. I just produced also a tribute CD to her music. Mm-hmm. Elvis Costello sang it on the
other Elvis
CD.
Yeah,
the other Elvis, yeah. the Costello, the one with the glasses.
Yeah.
so that's out there. Anchored in Love is the title of it also.
Jeff Williams, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, one definitely. Thing, if you want to hear the new John and June for the new millennium, you need to check out Texarkana Duet.
Oh, yeah. Sing it on, baby.
All right. That's very much. Let's see if we can get another caller in. This is Bernard. Bernard's with us from North Branch in Michigan.
Yes, in the heart of the thumb of the state of Michigan.
Go ahead.
I just have a question in regards to a lot of the unreleased material that June Carter had written and recorded over the years. I've hit I don't know how many websites that have indicated that there's somewhere in the area of, you know, a few hundred songs that have been unreleased, however recorded. You know, I'm not going to give advertisements to any other artists, but, you know, it was my understanding that it would be very close to another artist from Minneapolis and one from New Jersey, and I was curious if there was going to be plans to release that and like a catalog tracing back to the Carter family, or like unreleased B-sides, et cetera.
And were we talking about Prince and Bon Jovi here?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I may not be understanding.
Maybe Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, are you talking about June Carter released unreleased material?
Yes, that's correct.
No, there's not.
Okay, well, you know, best of luck on your book, and, you know, I look forward to reading the same. And
that I know of. Now, I say that there's not, but I mean, there may be something in the, you know, the Columbia vaults, because she did a record for them back in the day, you know, back in the 60s. But you can go to dualtonerecords.com and you can get the best of June Carter Cash, which has three songs on it that weren't on either Press On or Wildwood Flower, which were her last two records. And those three songs that I know of were the last unreleased June Carter material.
Hmm. Okay, well, Bernard, I appreciate you taking the time to take my call, and I'm taking my call and comment off the air.
Thanks,
Good
Bernard.
Luck to you.
So
thank
long.
You.
Just a time for one last question, and one of the things that I'm sure you became aware of as you wrote this book was the conditions in which your mom grew up traveling around with the original Carter family and living out of the back of cars and doing her homework. And pretty much you did the same thing, though, in a sort of mid-century form.
Yes, I did. And yeah, in a little bit more spoilings, there's no doubt. They brought me on the road and traveled me around, you know, with them, you know, when my father was, you know, very big artist in the 1970s and then later up through the 80s. And then I began playing guitar with him in the road in the late 80s until he retired in 1997. So I traveled the world with him for years, all around the world, and got to meet some great people. But yeah, I was in a musical family always, but now I mostly produce music, which is my love and my passion. I've found that I really don't want to go out on the road anymore. I love my home.
John Carter Cash, thanks very much for being with us, and good luck with the book.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
John Bye-bye. Carter Cash, author of An Intimate Portrait of June Carter Cash, Anchored in Love. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's a fact. Yeah, we're going to Jackson. Ain't never coming back.